Marcus, politics aside, one of the things about Donald Trump becoming president of the US is it's made a lot of people think, hang on a second, if he can become president, well, who else could become president? It feels like all of a sudden the field of potential candidates has very much widened. He has sort of paved a way, perhaps, for non-politicians to feel like, well, we could have a go at this too. Is that a good development, a bad development? I'm not really sure. But in the wake of the development, we now have another US uber celeb publicly contemplating possibly running for president.
Wow. Do tell. Who are you talking about?
Oprah Winfrey.
The Big O.
The Big O.
Well, one of the Big O's. Not Roy Orbison.
Or Jackie O.
Or Jackie O. Let me start again. Oprah Winfrey.
One of your mid-level O's.
O's, yep.
Who's done a lot in a big media career, probably most notably on TV.
Yes.
She's done a few trips to Australia where she did a good job of, you know, whipping a crowd into a frenzy.
Yes, she People does do crazy. That.
She would be good on the stump, as they say, wouldn't she?
She would be. She's definitely got that ability to whip up a crowd and get people behind what she's into. Obviously, she had that famous book club part of her TV show that found tens of thousands of women all reading the same book at the same time. She has power. She has influence.
Did you catch many of those books?
No. Did you?
I actually read one from her thing. But
really?
I didn't know until after I'd read
it. Oh, that doesn't count.
Anyway. So will we see Winfrey run for president? I think a lot of people feel like, well, if Trump can, she's probably entitled to as well. I'm feeling like this is a signpost to what's going to happen in Australia. I think we can expect to see more non-pollies running here too.
Okay.
I think there's an obvious candidate straight off the bat who's probably going to announce their intentions very shortly.
what field? Give me a...
Well, not politics. That's all I can really say. Warnie.
Warnie? Wow. Warnie. I thought you were going to go higher, but Warnie.
I think Warnie will do it. He's got the profile. He's a man of instinct. I think he would back himself to knock off the current crop of politicians. He's got the confidence. He's got the belief in himself. And I could see him modelling himself on the Hawke Prime Ministership. I think he'd look at Bob Hawke and think, he's the prototype. I could do that.
But unlike Donald Trump, I don't think Warnie would ever go out of his way to pretend he knows what he's talking about. Where I feel like Trump puffs out his chest and makes a lot of broad statements about policy and things like that, when really, I don't know if the substance is there. I don't know if Warnie has the guts to just go, yep, this is exactly how it is, or whether he has conviction to do that. But he would definitely have the populist support.
Some shortcomings, no doubt, but I'll tell you what he does have already is the Twitter account. He's already raging on Twitter, and as we've seen, that's pretty much half the job these days. You've got to have a high-profile Twitter account and not be afraid to speak your mind on Twitter, and Warnie fits the bill.
Initially, when you told me about this, I thought someone like Andrew O'Keefe from the television genre.
Obscure choice.
Deal or No Deal, Morning Breakfast, I'm not quite sure, some other quiz show. He's got a real personality. I think he's got a legal background, probably a bit too schmaltzy, a bit too cheesy to be Prime Minister. Then I thought about Eddie Maguire. And
not a bad suggestion.
Eddie does seem to have political views and some real bullish ways about him, which probably would make him a good leader.
I mean, Warnie does as well, but Eddie's got some baggage. He's got some skeletons in the closet, some scandal, controversies.
Any worse than Donald Trump, say? But
that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but probably Australians aren't as forgiving as Americans. Some of the dirt they had on Donald Trump before the election, I thought there's no way that he can become US president with the track record that's been exposed, but exactly. I don't think Aussies are as forgiving.
But this is the ability to be able to slip those controversies and not have them stick to you, which is what Trump is a master of.
Yes.
You look at the stuff he's done and everyone has forgotten that. Well, not everyone has forgotten that, but it certainly didn't stop him from winning the presidency. Warney's got that. Look at Warney's list of scandals, and they do not stick to him.
That's right. Part of Warney's charm, we all have fond memories of his cricket career as well. So if he was ever in trouble, if there was ever any issues that were a stumbling block, either being elected or not, you'd just put on the gatting ball from the Ashes.
Even if he became the best Prime Minister we've ever had, that would still be his second greatest achievement.
Pretty much.
Behind the gatting ball.
Exactly, exactly. What do you think it says about politics? And I'm as guilty as anyone of getting sucked into media identities or celebrities, that I think Oprah Winfrey saying, oh, I could run for president, isn't the most ludicrous idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, it's strange days, that's for sure. It's different. We're used to politicians, or the job of being a politician, being a job, and it's almost like a profession where people pretty much dedicate themselves to it. It's kind of a bit of a career path, and politicians would rise up through the ranks of unions or political organisations, whereas now we're seeing, you know, it's opened up to a lot more people than that. And is it a good thing or a bad thing? Let's sit back and wait and see. Woke up this morning, Marcus,
yeah.
And I could smell the petrol in the air.
Right.
Which could only mean my car has a leak. No, it means that the Clipsal 500 is underway. Big Adelaide event.
Woohoo, Clipsal.
And right on cue, heat wave.
Yeah, yeah. People in traffic, loud cars, hot weather. It all goes together really harmoniously, doesn't it?
I feel sorry for myself in the way you're talking about, but I even more so feel sorry for the drivers. I had a quick think about this. I don't know that I can think of a sport that is worse to have to do in the middle of a heat wave. They're wearing multiple layers of insulation, essentially.
Yeah.
A helmet.
Yes.
In a car. Where would you rather be in a heat wave than in a car? That's the worst spot.
Not an air-conditioned car, I don't believe.
No air conditioning.
I think they have a bit of a cold suit or something flowing through the suit, but still.
Well, this is technology I didn't know about.
But still, you know, they're probably in 60, 70 degree heat. Would that be humanly possible?
Like frying egg heat.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it's a pretty demanding sport. I think they lose kilos in the space of a race. They're just probably all moisture and liquid. But yeah, these guys are amazing. It's not a sport for me. I find it loud and, yeah, it's just not my thing. But
see, cricket is a bad one to have to play in the middle of a heat wave. You're out in the field under the pounding sun, but just not wearing a helmet alone is a big bonus, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, the batsmen have to wear helmets.
Yeah, well, true.
Conditions get pretty tough in India, but yeah, it should be a bit of a stinker for the boys, especially on the weekend. On the Saturday will be a pretty hot day. I think it's cooler on the Sunday, but yeah, good luck to them. It's a demanding sport. There's guys of all different ages, though. We heard recently a 16-year-old driver is involved. I think he's only got his L plates in.
Can't drive himself to the track.
No.
But is racing on it.
Go super fast, even though on your L's you can only go 80. Is that correct?
I think 80 is the limit. It was when I was on my L's.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
What do you think about Clipsal? Do you embrace it?
No, I'm not a motorsport fan, but I'm starting to appreciate it on the level of it's a sport probably more than any other based around technology. I mean, and obviously Formula One is probably the pinnacle, but we have the Clipsal here on our doorstep. We can get a closer look at it. It very much revolves around technology, innovation. And one thing I was thinking about it that's different to everything else, I mean, in terms of a sport married into business, like how commercial is it? I mean, how many more sponsor names and brands could you fit into a sport? Look at their shirts, their cars. You wouldn't find a blank space anywhere. And I guess it's because, you know, the origin is different as opposed to local clubs, which started off what's become the AFL. Motor racing has always been, has started with the manufacturers of these cars.
And in terms of those sponsors, it really does saturate into your psyche. I remember as a kid watching the early Grand Prix races in Adelaide and thinking that McLaren was Marlboro because it had the cigarette banner on the, on the, what do you call the back bit of the car?
It's called the thing. Maybe a spoiler is
spoiler,
not correct.
Yes. But... yes, a spoiler.
Actually, watching those races inspired me to take up smoking.
I've got three in your mouth right now. Mm-hmm. Camel. There was a Camel. I don't know which team it was, but I remember it had the Camel cigarettes thing on it.
Yep.
And now Red Bull, of course. It's called Red Bull Team, isn't it?
I think so. Like I said, I'm not a motorsport fan and I don't really know what on earth you're talking about. Awesome story today, newsman.
Right.
Which has more tangents hanging off it than I don't know what. I love it because if you had to place it in a newspaper, I'm not even sure what section it would go in. Let me run this through with you. Basically, we've got a multi-billion dollar stock offering.
Yes.
We've got instant multi-millionaires, well, in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
We've got cutting-edge technology. And final twist, we've got a supermodel fiancé to cap it all off.
This isn't mining, is it? This isn't big business. This isn't Wall Street.
Well, this is everything. This is all of that rolled up into one great little story, great big story about Snapchat, which has gone public today.
Yes.
And basically the young whippersnappers who put the thing together in terms of their stock worth are all of a sudden worth billions. I think one of them sort of cashed out part of it and became instantly a, you know, multi-millionaire.
Tim, for any of our listeners to this podcast that are about my age, over the age of 40, they're probably going, Snapchat, I think I know what it's about. Basically, you're sending pictures online to someone and then they disappear pretty quickly. Is that
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the idea, vanishing messages.
Yep.
I'm not actually on it myself. It's sort of, Snapchat might be the cutoff, I think. A lot of people got in on Facebook. Yep, we're there. We're on Twitter. We probably even have Instagram. Snapchat is that sort of next generation, really separating the millennials from the rest of us.
I could be pushing you too far here, but as far as I know, the only purpose to it was kind of for naughty pics. What are the practical implications of having this?
I think as with all technology, the initial purposes that people found to use it were basically smut related, sending pictures of yourself.
Yes.
And specific parts of yourself.
Yep.
But honestly, I think that was a while ago. It has become a legitimate platform now. It's widely used. It's been picked up by a lot of brands, which I think is often what drives the success of some of these things.
How would they get benefit out of that?
Well, that's a question for probably someone more smarter than me.
But they obviously, they see it.
I think what it is, the thing about Snapchat is, if you want to target an audience of millennials, and I guess these are people who have been born, you know, post 2000 or thereabouts, that this is where they are. They're all on there. So marketers who want to pitch stuff at people in that demo, this is where they're heading to, which is fine. But a lot of people at the same time will caution, well, that's a good demographic to go after. But if you're selling a product, those millennials are not the ones that have any money to buy stuff. But that is a less exciting avenue to go down than I think his name is Evan Spiegel. He's 28.
Spiegel, yes.
Immediately a multimillionaire. Engaged to Miranda Kerr.
Yes. Doing it tough.
Life's good for Mr. Spiegel.
Yes.
It makes me think, you know, immediately everyone thinks, well, let's get in on the app business. We need to come up with an idea so that the riches will flow. I'm light on app ideas. I don't know about you, Marcus.
Oh, bit of a question without notice, but every time I think I've got an idea, it's covered. Everyone's covered it.
I've got this idea for an app where people can sign up and they can share their life on there, and they can be friends with.
Could
with
you put
people.
Photos on there?
Yeah, I'm thinking it'll be like a representation of your face in a way. Like
right.
I'm thinking of calling it a face page.
Right. And what if I like or approve your pictures? Could I do anything?
Yeah, you could love them.
Love them. Mm. Laugh at them. Wow them. Angry face them.
Anyway, I think that the one newsman and a web guy, we need to get a Snapchat account, I was thinking. So that's something we might look into.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Marcus, wanting to start a segment, a weekly segment here. I think this could be our first weekly segment.
Ooh, okay.
Our only weekly segment.
That would imply we'll be back next week. I like that.
Yes. And the interesting thing about this is I don't even have a name for it.
Okay.
Basically, it's an award that I want to hand out each week to someone who has excelled for that week in the art of media manipulation.
Ooh, yeah, I like the sound of this.
Because a lot of people are doing it. A lot of people are doing it well. Mm-hmm. Some are not so well. But anyway, anyone who catches the eye, I want to showcase in this segment,
okay,
which will have a name soon. This week, the winner is Peter.
Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Not the dude?
Not the man. Not Peter Griffin from our favourite show, The Family Guy.
That was terrible. Sorry, go on.
PETA, all in caps.
Yes.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Strong group.
Yeah, they've done a lot of media work. They're always getting attention. I associate them with a big nude campaign they have. I think they had celebrities taking their clothes off to promote a cause early on, which is always a great strategy.
Yes.
To cut through.
Nudes.
Now this week, I think this might be a new chapter in the playbook of media dark arts. They've written a brand new chapter.
Okay.
Haven't seen this before. They came out with a call for famous Australian band Hunters and Collectors to change their name, demanding the band change their name.
Why? What's wrong with Hunters and Collectors? That, I guess it's got links to animals, but...
Yeah, it implies animal cruelty. It's duck season, duck hunting season in SA apparently right now.
Okay.
And the word...
Not wabbit season?
No. I would do a Daffy Duck or something impression, but I can't.
So duck season, and this is part of that?
Yeah, just promotion? The word hunting has the wrong connotation. So Peter wants the band to change their name. But here's the thing. I don't think they want the band to change their name at all. I don't think they care. But for most of Thursday, this was a news story that most outlets seem to run. I don't know if it ran on TV because I don't watch news TV because I'm not 100. But everywhere else... We're running this.
Well, I didn't, as the newsman in where we work here. Maybe I missed it.
Got past you?
Sorry?
Got past you?
Yeah, I guess so. It's crazy, but I guess you're right.
It's crazy.
It's a deliberate failed attempt at making a change just to get talk on talkback radio for us to all go, that's ridiculous. So it's working. It's working right now.
Exactly. And that's what these days... You look at the news atmosphere and online especially, and it's aggressive. There's a lot of outrage. There's just waves of outrage rolling across the internet, and the outlets that really make a mark are the ones that just sort of tap into those little waves of outrage and catch a little ride. And they've done this perfectly with this one because immediately reaction is, well, what a silly idea that is. Outrageous.
But we're talking about it.
We're talking about it, and that was the whole point.
So I guess the key is, in the media, to filter what is just a stunt. I mean, obviously, they have a right to try promote things, but when you break it down like that, you just feel like going, no, I'm not giving you any airtime. You're just trying to pump up your cause by stirring up S.
I know. But what if that included nudes?
Yeah, I might change my mind. Tim, I can take or leave American Media Awards, but the Academy Awards this week have been a bit interesting.
The part about this that I like, though, is with these monumental cock-up stories is immediately there's some, outrage. You know, in the context of the world, this is a yeah, minor incident. But within the entertainment industry, and, it is a big industry. We all kind of, lots of people like watching movies. This is kind of a nightmare scenario for them. So there's some serious talk of we're going to have an inquiry. We're going to get to the bottom of this. And these scenarios always boil down to, let's find the guy. We want to find the guy who did this. There's got to be a scapegoat. Maybe they even are the actual proper culprit, in which case I'm not sure if scapegoat's the right word. But let's find who made this mistake and let's punish them. Like when all of Australia lost Telstra coverage, we found out that it was one guy who unplugged the wrong thing.
So I watched the awkward moment, felt bad for everyone involved, then laughed a little bit for those involved, but I haven't really pushed on with the issue since that point. Was there a duplication of that envelope from a previous win, or was the envelope still in the wrong hands, or how did it work?
You might have just skimmed it, but I've gone deep. I've gone pretty deep.
Well, that's your job as the web guy.
Well, and it does the problem here does trace back to an internet related incident, which is quite juicy. And this has been uncovered by the Wall Street Journal. So the best news hounds in the business are on this. And basically I'm picking up just what they have uncovered. But apparently they have accountants on hand to hand out the cards to the presenters to read.
Right.
I guess accountants are considered fairly trustworthy, reliable. I don't know why it has to be accountants. But anyway, maybe it's the same at the Brownlow. I don't know who brings in the case. But anyway, the accountants hand the card with the winner to the presenters, who then get up on stage and read it out. The bean counter, who is having the finger pointed at him for having balls this all up, allegedly, not even allegedly, there is proof, he was madly tweeting pics of celebrities backstage in the moments before the terrible mix-up.
Concentrate. Focus.
Yeah, so he was asleep on the job. He was tweeting pictures of celebrities, and which have all since been deleted, but they have been recorded because nothing is ever really gone on the internet.
Yeah.
So he was tweeting madly, swanning around with the A-listers, and then it looks like wasn't paying attention, handed the wrong card to the right people at the wrong time, and the wrong movie got the right award.
I felt sad for Warren Beatty. Is it Beatty?
Beatty.
Beatty and Faye Dunaway. It looked like presenting this award was a challenge in itself. I think that's fair. They're in their senior years, and I'd be the same. I'd be up there going, just get this right. Open it, read the name, smile as much as I can with what's happened to my face over the years with Botox and stuff. And then they're left looking, just grinning as, I don't know who that guy is. Have we worked out who the guy is that just broke the news? Too serious. No, get over it.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Seriously, man.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, it was a joke. It was hilarious. It was the best thing that could have happened on the night.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just sort of was half watching it as I'm compiling my news bulletins during the afternoon until this happens. And then all of a sudden, I care about the Oscars.
Well, yeah, and I'm always half suspicious when something like this happens, because this exact scenario has happened at beauty contests and a few other big award shows where they hand the award to the wrong person, and it all of a sudden makes the event very newsworthy. The Oscars are already pretty newsworthy, but this sometimes this is, I've felt before, this is a bit of a stunt option, because basically if you want to get in the news, you have to do something that's going to go viral, and this is not a bad option. I like that you started to sink the boot into Warren Beatty, because there's been some criticism that he basically threw Faye Dunaway under the bus. he seemed to kind of maybe catch on that something was awry when he read the card.
So he went here,
and he passed it off. He saw what was written, felt like something was awry. He's a man of great instinct. His hackles were up, and he basically just handballed it straight to Faye Dunaway, who then read out what turned out to be the wrong winner.
I'm hoping it wasn't a stunt, because this is what is lacking in awards ceremonies for me, is spontaneity and spontaneous reaction and genuine sort of awkwardness.
Yeah.
And to see that really brings the ceremony alive. Hopefully there aren't copycat events where they're just throwing out silly things like that. But if that's real, that's great. The other thing I liked about the awards I'm sure you saw this as well. They got a tour group to come through, thinking they were just touring the.
No, missed that.
Where's it actually held? The Academy Awards.
LA.
Yeah, big function center. I don't know what it's called, and yeah, they had a tourist group come through on the side of the stage, thinking they're just doing a tour of this place, and lo and behold, there's Nicole Kidman, there's Keith Urban. And they're just like, yeah, take some photos.
They didn't know they were walking into the middle of the Oscars ceremony.
Not at all. Wow. Not at all. So they're the sort of inventive things I want to see in an award ceremony. Some of the girls here at work love the fashion. And, yeah, I'll have a squiz, but it's all too sort of the same for me each year. This was different. I liked it.
I want to see some of the lesser-known Olympic events start pulling this stunt where they hand the gold medal to someone. And then in the middle of the ceremony, at the podium ceremony,
yeah,
in the middle of the anthem,
ooh,
just rip the soundtrack of the anthem off, the big record scratch.
Whoop. Yep.
No, sorry, there's been a mistake. You didn't win the gold medal.
Mm. How about the Brownlow medal? You mentioned that earlier. Can you imagine the outrage if Gil McLaughlin announced someone? It's Robbie Gray. And then, hey, wait, we missed a few votes. It's not. It's Patrick Dangerfield.
It wouldn't
again.
Fly. It makes me realise that if you can't actually get the right award to the right person, should you even be running an awards show?